is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned away.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You're tuned in to 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the Shaw. We're in the wonderful studios here in Waukesha. And so let's, before we go to, you know, my scheduled guests, before we went to break, we were talking about Colorado and the decision that the state Supreme Court in Colorado made to take Donald Trump off of the ballot. And so Cindy is calling in from Appleton, I guess, to have a piece of that. Cindy, good morning. Thank you very much, as always, for the call. You say what?
Well, Earl, I say I'm applauding Colorado. I stand with Colorado. If we could get the other 49 states to do the same thing, we could get that lunatic off the ballot permanently. That man should not be running for president. He should not even be running for dog catcher.
You know my view on it, right? So thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. My guest, Dr. Craig, is on the line. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Always great to be with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on. So the decision was rendered in Colorado, the first of what we know is going to be many more, to have Donald Trump removed from the ballot. Your thoughts?
Well, I want to commend the Supreme Court of Colorado for actually looking at the Constitution and following the law, because we've had a lot of mainline institutions in the United States that have basically refused to do the right thing because they're afraid of the political consequences, right? Or that it will be controversial. The Minnesota State Supreme Court, right next door to us, refused to take this case.
Right.
So, and it also is, unfortunately, because I don't have great hope for what the U.S. Supreme Court will do, but it will probably put the lie to strict constructionism, the idea that right-wing judges are simply going with what the Constitution says, because they torture constitutional language to get modern right-wing doctrine, like what they've done with the Second Amendment, for example. In the 19th century, they perverted the 14th Amendment's equal protection clauses for black people, which were designed to create a multiracial democracy, and interpreted them as not applying to that really, but applying to protecting corporations, which had nothing to do. And that they were doing that within 20 years of the actual framing of the 14th Amendment. But there is a provision in the 14th Amendment, Earl, that says that if you have been involved in insurrection, aided and abetted it, that you aren't ineligible to hold off federal office. And the case was, and it's a 200-page decision, very well argued, and at the district court level where the judge didn't want to make the decision herself, and that's more understandable because one judge throwing a presidential candidate off the ballot, so she kind of looked for an out, but she found that Donald Trump did more than aid and abet an insurrection, that the Supreme Court agreed. And the whole case was argued out evidentially. So my hope, Earl, is that when the U.S. Supreme Court takes this case with its Donald Trump-packed majority, that it actually looks at the Constitution and looks at what Trump actually did and looks at the facts of the case. What they're more likely to do, Earl, unfortunately, is to find a procedural way out of it, to say that Congress needed to pass a law to enable it, and therefore the state Supreme Court can't enforce it, and they can't either, which is what right-wing judges tend to do. They find some formalistic, legalistic way to make the clear intent and meaning of the Constitution not apply when it is not in a right-wing direction, when it actually has progressive implications like this.
You know, Dr. Craig, I've been listening to conservative squawk radio, and I've heard them say this is anti-democratic because this is something, a decision that should be rendered or should be made by the voters. And Democrats are anti-democratic, anti-constitution, because they're taking away the people's rights to determine who the president should be. Your thoughts?
Well, they're pro-democracy when that suits them, and anti-democracy
right.
when that suits them.
Right.
So they're for limiting voting, you know, gutting the Voting Rights Act, but now they're for democracy.
That's
and
the way I saw
the
it.
First ones, conservatives, to say the Constitution actually protects the rights of everyone, not just majorities. And why have a Constitution at all if we're just going to say whatever the vote says goes, right? Which is what they're saying. Why have any constraints whatsoever? So it makes no sense. And in fact, the reason they did it is because the Confederate states, the former Confederacy, the states that seceded from the Union and led an armed insurrection, that they would have sent the Confederates back to Washington to share power if they hadn't had this provision. In fact, when the president, the Vice President Johnson, who replaced after Lincoln's assassination, the great Abraham Lincoln, was allowing a very mild or no Reconstruction at all. They started electing Confederates and sent them to Congress. State of Georgia sent Alexander Hamilton Stevens, the vice president of the Confederate States of America, to Congress. And so Congress refused to seat them. And that was part of the basis for why Congress ended up framing the 14th Amendment and it being ratified.
You know, Dr. Craig, sometimes, I don't get confused. I know exactly, what's taking place. What was the year of the law for Roe versus Wade that they wanted to go back to? 18?
In Wisconsin?
Yes.
1849.
Yeah, yes. 1849. Okay. So, they wanted to go back then, but they don't want to go back with what created the 14th Amendment, right? They're going back to all those years and we shouldn't be can you have it both ways, Dr. Craig?
Well, it's a lot more recent than the original Constitution. It's an amendment. And the intent of the framers of this amendment, which is part of the Constitution now, were very clear. And so there is no dispute about this. There's no dispute about the language. And this is bipartisan when you have actual legal scholars that aren't doing political work. There was an article by Lawrence Tribe, a great progressive legal scholar, emeritus from Harvard, and Michael Litwig, who is a very conservative judge, has often been one of the major legal gurus for the right, who was considered an excellent Supreme Court candidate until he started telling truth. They wrote an article together saying that this is exactly what the 14th Amendment means, the exclusion clause for people involved in insurrection, and that it was meant to be self-enforcing. They wrote a law review article explaining this. That is to say, it did not require any action by courts, per se, though, of course, it could be challenged in court, and that's what took place. And so this is the way it was structured. It was structured so you just don't put anyone on the ballot if they were insurrectionist. If there was any dispute, then, of course, it could be taken up by courts. But it did not require that they be convicted of insurrection. Almost none of the Confederates who were excluded were convicted of insurrection. They simply were known to be part of the Confederacy in a rebellion against the country. They weren't all prosecuted under federal law. Quite the contrary. In fact, the head of the Confederacy, the leading general, General Lee, he ended up being the president of a small college in Virginia, now called Washington and Lee College.
So, Dr. Craig, is the debate whether or not this was actually defined as an insurrection? And so that it clearly was that, and that, and you know, or is it open to debate? Because that's where the Republicans try to slide this slippery slope. Well, we say it wasn't an insurrection. Where is it documented that it was that?
Well, the district court and the Supreme Court of Colorado agreed that this is what the case established. The attorneys who brought this case made a direct case with witnesses, with overwhelming evidence, that it was. It was an attempt to prevent the seating of a new president and to stay in office with overwhelming evidence. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court could challenge that. I mean, if they want to do a factual argument that it wasn't, that's fine, right? In other words, really dig into it. But if they're going to say something like, well, that Trump has not been convicted of insurrection under the wording of current federal law, which has nothing to do with the Constitution, a Constitution is a higher law, then that simply is unconstitutional interpretation and a shredding of this amendment, because the Confederates, the former Confederates who were barred from office, were not convicted of insurrection under federal law as it stood then. And federal law is going to change. A Constitution is supposed to be a higher law. So that would be a procedural dodge on their part, and quite frankly, a lie. And I think that the very political right-wing judges that dominate judiciary now in the Supreme Court, they find ways to rationalize the outcome they want and make intricate legal arguments to try to sanitize it. But they're not, their legal analysis is not what's leading the decision. It's the other way around. Their political ideology is the cause of the decision. Their legal arguments are their rationalization.
844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is, as always on Wednesdays, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Hang on those phone lines. Don't touch the dial. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again,
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Phone lines are open. Let's go to the phone lines. And Karina, good morning to you, Karina. How are you doing?
Good, Earl. Good morning. You see, this is how I look at it. And obviously, I'm not a specialist or anything. But insurrectionist is a toxicity in the society. Trump, anytime he opens his mouth, he is threatening somebody. And this is the insurrection. This is what should not be in American society. This is what Constitution is talking about, that we are not as a country accepting the leaders whose toxicity is so high that the person doesn't care who he's threatening, his political opponent or the clerk in the court who's doing their job. He, with his dirty mouth and insurrectionist toxic mouth, he's bringing people to an action against of this government. And that's enough. That person shouldn't be nowhere near politics. This person shouldn't be nowhere near making the rules and going out there and talk to another government, presidents and everybody else. This is dangerous and unneeded. That person is somebody who runs a cult, okay? And he wash out everybody. So this is what I'm so proud for Colorado, and I hope that everybody will understand that this man should not be nowhere near anything close to making a decision. He cannot make a decision for his own businesses, for his own money, for his own family. The only reason he's still capable of opening up his mouth is because he doesn't pay to anybody, and he's just running on whatever his papa left him.
Hey, Karina,
that's it.
Well said. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
I agree with what Karina is saying, morally, ethically, who ought to lead. The definition of insurrection is a bit more precise. Otherwise, if the 14th Amendment banned bullying and lying and unfitness for office, we'd have to remove much of the House of Representatives from office, Earl.
Lindsey Graham.
But I agree with her view, but I would say this goes even beyond that. He led a real conspiracy with a real theory and continued after the violence began to do it to overturn the election and stay in power. And he was the first president of the United States ever to even contemplate such a thing, let alone to do it. The only possible comparison is that a former vice president, Aaron Burr, under Thomas Jefferson, was running around in the yet-to-be part of the United States, southeast, around Florida and the place, trying to foment something insurrectionary. But that was after Aaron Burr left office.
Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Stephen. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. So let's just take this and dissect this whole Trump thing for 1 second. Let's just pretend that he wasn't president and that he's just a regular average Joe like me and you. And he's saying the stuff and doing the stuff that he's doing now. Wouldn't people be like, this guy should be somewhere, not in the general public? I mean, he led an insurrection. If he was just an average insurrectionist and not the president of the United States, he'd be in prison. How do we know this? Because several of them have already been put in prison for that. Now, all of a sudden, we say, oh, well, he's the president. So now, all of a sudden, it's different because he's the president. No, he's not. He's still a U.S. citizen that broke the law. And it should outrage people more that he was president because he was the leader of our country doing this. I would still be angry if it was a regular person, but the fact that it was the president that people went and voted in and put their trust in to defend the Constitution of this country, and that's what he did at this point, that backs him up or, you know, defends him, should be ashamed of themselves because they're defending the person that try to take the liberties that they practice every day when they go outside their door. You try to take them away from them.
Hey, Stephen, well said. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Stephen?
I'm glad Stephen said that because one of the most scandalous things is, and it goes way before Trump, and it's been tolerated far too long, is the double standard in our legal system. If you have resources, if you're wealthy, then it's very, very hard to hold you accountable for flagrant violations of crime. So the power dynamic, both in terms of wealth and in terms of prestige, a former president, as Stephen pointed out, between Trump and the people who followed him into this activity on January 6th is astounding. Many of them were middle or upper middle class people, but that you just, the average person, can't afford enough lawyers when they're going up against the Justice Department. Donald Trump can. And they had much more privilege in terms of defending themselves, and there were legal funds set up, et cetera, than the average poor kid that runs afoul of the law. Disproportionately, those kids are ethnic and racial minorities who literally are in a position where they don't really have a defense, and they can plead to a lower charge, or they can have the book thrown at them even if they're innocent and end up with much worse consequences. So it's amazing if you think about our society that we tolerate that, because the original Constitution, it really is grounded in equality under the law and every person being judged the same way. And it is outrageous how we have allowed money and prestige and the ability to pay for teams of lawyers to essentially create a society in which the law is so unequally and unjustly applied.
844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action NU. You can join us on the other side.
Yourself a merry little Christmas
show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and Tom from LA. Tom, quickly.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. There's certain callers that call in, like Mark, who called in earlier, who I just have to say, he's a Republican that actually can talk logically about some of these things. I wish that maybe focus a little bit more on policy, because on one hand, they say Joe Biden is Sleepy Joe and doesn't have a lot going on. But then on the other hand, he's making everyone more divisive than ever. So I'm not sure what he really is. As far as, you know, I just wish that we could all, one thing I love about Wisconsinites, honestly, is just they should be able to have a conversation and talk about policy and not get caught up in the weeds with all the things that the right-wing hate radio and right-wing television wants people get caught up in, but actually talk about the bread and butter kitchen issues. So I just want to say, you know, thank you for the callers that do call in, that, you know, have come in with a, from the Republican side with a clean heart and clean mind. And also I found out that CJ took a little bit of money from We the People government and some type of loan.
So CJ, Tom, we can't get into that. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, we're coming towards the end of another year, and in a very short period of time, is it time to start going back over the year and what you and Citizen Action have been involved in, and what we're looking forward to in. Look, a year, everybody always says this is the most important vote of your lifetime. But, you know, I don't know how many are as important as the decision this time around. So let's talk a little bit about 23 from your perspective.
So in the spirit of Tom just brought, good holiday spirit, right?
Right.
Of making civic media about positive discussion of issues. I will, because I could start with all sorts of disappointments, things we fought for in the state budget or other things in the legislature that didn't happen, right? Which we could get into. But let me say something positive for Milwaukee and for Wausau. I know you're up on the air. Civic Media Radio Network is there as well. So the city of Milwaukee passed one of the boldest climate and economic equity plans in the whole country in June. Nearly unanimous city council, common council, we call it. Only one abstention. Everyone else voted for. Strongly supported in the hearing process. And strongly supported by Mayor Johnson with all the trimmings are all a ribbon cutting and a big cake, all of that. And it was a 4-year process. Citizen Action of Wisconsin, we were part of generating it. Me and our climate and economic equity director, Raphael Smith, not only were advocating for action, but we're in a meeting, 4-person meeting with then Common Council President Ashanti Hamilton, and then county supervisor, now he's a state rep, Supreme Moore Mukunde, where we hatched this task force. And so that is huge, because not only does Milwaukee have a plan, and it's online, the city website and the Environmental Collaboration Office, it's called ECO. You can see the whole 240-page plan, but we have a blueprint for not only meeting the climate deadline. We got to cut carbon emissions in nearly in half by 2030 to have a chance to prevent catastrophic consequences, but we can do that. It's well within our means. And it does it in a way that changes and opens up the economy. We need a ton. We need a ton of green workers, Earl. We need as many more green workers than Milwaukee used to have manufacturing workers when it was so much more prosperous and equal. And if we structure it right, we can create good union jobs, the ones that were taken away 40 years ago, for everyone in Milwaukee, especially the people left out of the economy altogether, which we see in a lot of North Side and South Side neighborhoods. And so the only thing missing is money, because the state legislature has been strangling us, but the Biden administration did enact the biggest climate investments, over half a trillion dollars in American history. and it's complicated to download. That's our next step, but there is huge opportunity for changing Milwaukee for the better and also meeting our obligation and our common necessity of reducing carbon emissions and preventing runaway climate change, Earl. So that's a huge positive. Wausau initiated such a process. So this is happening in the red parts of the state as well. And our Citizen Action members were at the center of it, just like in Milwaukee, and got the city, the mayor, and the city council to pass a planning process so they can come up with their own climate plan for the city of Wausau.
You know, Dr. Craig, this year, like, you know, once you reach a certain age, the years fly by. And so, you know, you blink your eye and the years, we're coming to the end of the year. But, you know, there have been some positive things that have taken place in 2023 on a local scale as well as on a national scale. And, you know, you keep hearing, now, Joe Biden is in Milwaukee again today, and he's talking about investment in areas and in communities that have not seen that. And, you know, you have to understand that, you know, these are things that are long overdue, and whether you like him or not, whether he's 82 years old or whether he's 100 years old, you know, he's addressing some issues that have – certainly not only in the African-American community, but broadly across the entire state and across the entire nation. He's put forth an effort, Dr. Craig. Is it safe to say, to kind of level the playing field, to kind of uplift communities that have been left in the cold and the dark? I don't think anybody, they may debate that, but it would not be truthful.
I agree, and substantially more than any president since Lyndon Johnson, and Lyndon Johnson's Great Society was appended by the Vietnam War, the tragedy of that, and the money that took and the lives it took. But he has invested. This has been his first 2 years when there was full Democrat control was one of the most successful domestic presidencies in American history, and no one knows it. Right. They know what FDR did. They know what Lyndon Johnson did in the domestic phase of his presidency, right after JFK's assassination and then early in his once he was elected for his own term. And not only money for what we really need, infrastructure, which has been underfunded by Washington forever, causing our country to fall behind, the climate crisis, and doing it in a way that would dramatically increase equity. Little known, the president through the White House has a Justice 40 initiative, and all the states are required to make sure that 40% of the benefits of the Inflation Reduction Act's gigantic climate investments, climate and jobs investments, go to marginalized communities. That you didn't find that in the Obama era, let alone the Clinton or the Carter era or any Republican president, Reagan or either of the Bushes, certainly not Trump. And the big challenge for our democracy is that people don't even know what leaders are doing. There's plenty of things to critique President Biden on, but that's all the public, including the Democrat base, seems to know about. And there's very little knowledge of the incredible breakthroughs. And that's one of the biggest challenges of democracy if we go into 2024, because we want to have a good holiday season, Earl, but then New Year's better have our resolutions, because 2024 comes around with huge pivotal decisions. And the question is, can we tell average voters what Biden has done in a way that sinks in and makes them want to fight for more? Because that's why Biden's running for election, Earl. He said he wants to finish the job, and a lot of the key things he tried to pass got held up by one or two U.S. senators who weren't really Democrats.
Yeah, Kristen Sinema and I forgot the other guy. Joe Manchin. So, Dr. Craig, all the things you just said, people don't understand that most of those things that have been passed are in process, ramping up, and will be impactful for years to come. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, and it used to be in the New Deal that people knew what it was. It was clear, you know, when you did a big work program like the Civilian Conservation Corps and the other major New Deal jobs program, bunches of people around you started being employed in building stuff. It was all visible. Our government's been so complicated. So much of the money comes through state government and in different pieces. Governors run around to do ribbon cuttings and don't say it was because the president got it, right? They want to get the credit. Same with everyone down. The Republican members of Congress who voted against go around take credit for things they voted against. That's been an issue. And so we really have a problem that democracy, and then of course we have less and less legitimate hard news media coverage and complete disinformation on social media. And so the public literally is not even informed. It'd be hard for them to even know. If you want to review, not everyone reads the daily newspaper, right, anymore.
Right.
They used to. But if you scan the daily newspapers in Wisconsin, let's say someone actually did just read them, you still wouldn't know most of this stuff because most of the coverage would be on various political horse race scandals,
crime, you know, and crime in the big cities.
Crime stories that make people think crime is much worse than it is, because the human mind tends to think they hear about some horrific incident that it's happening, that their own block is dangerous,
right,
when in fact, from a percentage standpoint, yeah, you could also be hit by lightning. It's about that chance that there's a bad guy ready to knock you off when you go out on your porch.
Hey, Dr. Gray, we got to take a hiatus. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket, and I'm always excited to have him on.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Dr. Craig, there's a lot of conversation about young people leaning away from the Democratic Party and Joe Biden because of the war that's going on in Israel, and that, you know, and that we are, the United States is supporting this and all those kind of things. But you can't believe, if you believed all of the things that are being said, you know, then what we would do is we would basically just throw up our hands and not be a part of the election, because based on the things that are being said, you would say, well, there's no way, you know, Joe Biden's going to win. Your thoughts?
Well, it's way too early to say that. So that's part of the problem with our media culture. It just wants to jump on sensational stories like that and keep driving that narrative, and it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they say it often enough, a lot of people will assume that their vote doesn't count and melt away, right?
Right.
So then they can say, see, we were right. Well, you helped make it right. by telling that narrative based on polling that really does not tell you very much about where voters will be in a year and has been massively inaccurate since 2016. And they were unable as recently as 2022 to measure the impact of the abortion issue and the threat to democracy issue. And therefore, Democrats overperformed all of the polls, including the polls done right before the election. But then we run around, every major national media outlet is commissioning polls and running around with the news, it's fake news, rather than covering what's really going on, creating their own news. So that is a problem. We need to be able to hold two thoughts, Earl, I think. First of all, you've seen, I'm sure you've probably talked about on the show, Earl, Trump's fascistic quotes, right?
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Vermin, the enemy is within.
Poisoning the blood.
Immigration is poisoning our blood. This stuff is straight out of hatred, the hatred that led to mass murder on a broad scale in the 20s and 30s, and what has in the modern era in places like Rwanda, places like Bosnia. And so we know, we hold that idea. Now, everyone who is so focused on that they will vote to prevent that, they're already with us, right? There are others who, I mean, in our degraded social media environment and media environment, everything is so hyperbolic and so many scandals. I mean, you know, we were told that Anthony Fauci, our top, viral disease expert in the country, and a man who's done great good, was somehow had plotted to cause this massive pandemic with China, that kind of stuff. It all looks like a streaming series where it's all crazed, and therefore this is just another crazy plot, and it's no more true or untrue or affecting their lives than the other one. That's the problem with this media environment, what the right wing with its endless conspiracy theories has wrought. And so we need to be able to cut through that, but we need to be serious. A lot of kind of rock-rig Democrats, Biden just won. Let's just tell the young people, the ones who might not vote, that they how bad Trump is and they should. That's not enough. That's not enough for them. We have to address their real concerns. They have real concerns about our unconditional support for Israel, for example, Earl. And it's becoming, if it wasn't clear before, clearer that the right-wing leaders of Israel are, and Biden has even put it this way, President Biden has been indiscriminately destroying things and people in Gaza and is committing war crimes. And that if we are going to support that financially, our country becomes complicit. President Biden has moved, has started condemning it, but he's still for giving them a huge amount of military money when they are acting this way and where they don't want peace. The current leadership of Israel doesn't want peace, not all the people of Israel, and certainly not all Jewish people. And so we need to address that. Biden needs to move on that issue because it's untenable, just for example. I understand the political pressures. So we need to get through to people and then show them the things he has done. Like young people, Earl, are upset they didn't get much student loan relief.
Yes.
President Biden tried.
It wasn't his fault.
He did the right thing, and the U.S. Supreme Court, appointed by Trump, overrode him.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the part of it that, you know, I think we have to make sure we get that information out. As I always say to conservative friends and people who listen to this show, just point out the policies that Donald Trump did that changed their lives for the better, you know, and that's an impossible task, Dr. Craig, because it didn't happen, right?
It was good for rich people, largest corporate tax cut and tax up for the wealthy in American history. Very little for average people, right? And this notion that he did great things for the economy, it's complete fable. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't understand the economy. He's not even that effective a businessman. He's a huckster. He's probably lost if it took his dad's inheritance and had just put it in the stock market, he'd have a lot more money than he does with his alleged brilliant investing.
Hey, Dr. Craig, it's always great to have you on. I look forward to continuing what we're doing. Thank you very much. You bring much needed information to the people in the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you, Earl. Always great to be with you.
All right. That's it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Greg Bach, Jane Matinier, and As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you, Calvin. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.